The title of this message is When Faith Springs Forth. And this is not just for us as a ministry, Christians for Messiah Ministries, or for us as a church. It's for your purpose. It's for your life. It's for your family. There is a time when faith is going to leap forward. And if you're just the plodder, if you're just somebody who plods along one step after the other, you can endure the day and get to a certain level. But there comes a time when you don't just walk and not faint, but you run without getting weary, and you soar with wings like eagles. And as you might have noticed, we don't have wings. So how in the world do we do that? We don't do it by our strength, but we do it by the strength of the Lord. Now please open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start reading at verse 8. And I would like you to think of the things that you've dreamed about, the things that God has put in your heart. And let's now begin in this scripture, Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, say as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. From a dead man. Lord Jesus, it's not about us. We're not looking to build any empires. It's about you, amen, whose kingdom shall reign over the whole earth, whose glory shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the great privilege of partnering with you. And today we stir our hearts in faith to receive all that you would have for us, all that you would do among us. We receive it in Jesus' name. We as a people are at a time of transition. This is a transitional year for you personally, for your families, and for congregations, not ours alone, and for ministries around the world and in this nation. If you don't have faith, just hang on to my coattail. Come on. It's time that you said, all right, I'm not going to allow my life to just wither away as good as dead. Maybe I thought a little while ago, some of you might have thought, if you're gray hair or no hair, you may have thought that, well, you know what? I'm just coasting for the rest. I'm just going to look towards giving a good inheritance to my children, getting my things in order, for my life has come to a place where I'm just fixing to go to heaven, as they would say in the South. But the Lord says, even though Abraham was as good as dead, had no ability to be a father anymore, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and his descendants in time numbered like the sand on the seashore and the stars in the heavens. There can be such a time when God will move in such a powerful way. And I believe this is one of those times. A door has started to creak open. You should run toward it with all your strength and with all your might. Bust down the door if you need to. But get on to the other side. And be strong in the power of the Lord. See, there are some people in this world who have a lot of money. I haven't met them in the last little while. But there are many good people in the world who don't yet know Jesus, who have a lot of money, and many of them do many humanitarian things. They may build 500 schools in India, or drill wells throughout Africa to bring water to the needy. It's a wonderful thing. If I was Bates or Warren, I'd be blessing the world all over the place and having fun like a pig in mud. But what makes them different? What makes them different from the people of God who are going to do exploits? It's one word: faith. By faith, armies were conquered. The worlds were formed. By faith, things happened that were impossible. It's this word of faith that without it, you cannot please God, you cannot go forward. Now you might say, I don't like this party. I don't like this direction. I feel uncomfortable about it. I haven't personally heard from God. Please don't come under any pressure. We love you. We're excited for you. Maybe God will yet give you a word. Whatever you do, please don't be a complainer, a naysayer, a gossiper, or a person who is a negative monger. There's no room for that. If you don't have faith for it, if you think this is the wrong direction, step back and pray and give it to God. But don't mess up people who are going to stand up and give their lives for what they believe is God. Does that make sense? And whoever you are, wherever you are in all of the decision making, we love you. We receive you. If you can't stand up and clap your hands, then sit down and rejoice in the Lord. It's all right. We're not here to form everybody into a mold. That's not the way of the Lord. And we're certainly not going to do any guilt manipulation. In fact, I'm as free as a bird. Because either God takes us on or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, well, I'll just carry on being faithful. And if he does, I'm not going to be left out of it. I hope you have a heart like that. Not the mully grubs for breakfast. There's a time in your life where you need to be bigger than yourself. You need to be a part of something that's bigger than you. That's what you're made for. You're made to be a people who are part of the kingdom of God to bring forth exploits and to do extraordinary things, even impossible things. I know I'm not speaking to the choir, but some of you have heard these kind of words before. And because you've heard them before, and maybe you've become disillusioned because you saw things go so far and then fail. Therefore, it's hard to apply yourself again, to put your hand to the plow. I understand it. You certainly won't get any condemnation from me. Only love. But I encourage you to muster your energy and stir your heart and dream again for big things. It's time for us to sacrifice with our hearts and to work with all of our strength. Some of us don't have the strength we used to have, but it's time to put what we have, and it's amazing when you start to do it, the strength that God gives you to finish it. One of our people said just this past couple of weeks, how do you eat an elephant? The answer is one bite at a time. We can't fix everything. Just imagine if we were given a blank piece of land. The air conditioner wouldn't work. There wouldn't be one. The doors wouldn't even creak because there wouldn't be doors. It would be an impossibility. But we have an opportunity to step on ground that is quite functional to a good extent and do something great in the purposes of God. But we can't do it as individuals. We have to do it together. There has to be such a spirit of unity among us if we're going to see the purposes of God birthed among us in a very large way. I think of the Billy Graham team. Just recently, you know, George Beverly Shea, just in the last couple of years, passed away. I saw a documentary. Here he is, close to 100 years of age. One way or the other, I'm not exactly sure. And he was still singing, "How great thou art." You know, he did a lot better than me, even at 100. And the different members of the Billy Graham team, who for all these years served the Lord with such excellence. And what did they accomplish? They accomplished something that touched the whole world. And birthed out of that came another ministry, which is Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse, is the overall ministry there. But great things come. And you need to find somebody that you believe in and that you trust and follow them. We have done our best to show you who we are, what kind of character we have, what are our motives. You should know us very well by now. So, if you followed us in easy days, we ask you to follow us in some challenging ones. Now, there are three kinds of heroes in the Bible. People who have extraordinary faith, because we're talking about when faith springs forth. And it springs forth all through the Scriptures, doesn't it? I mean, you look at everyone in the Scripture who was a mighty person of God, and they sprang forth in faith to do extraordinary things. Let me just mention a few of them to you. Each one did such huge things that went against their natural inclinations, went against logic, went against their material abilities. But Adam walked with God. Noah built an ark for all the animals of the world, at least a mom and pa representative. Abraham journeyed, not knowing where he was going. Jacob wrestled with an angel until God blessed him. Joseph rescued a whole nation when he was a prisoner, or he had been a prisoner. Moses led 2 million people out into the desert when he didn't think he was a leader at all anymore. He was stuttering, had no confidence. Joshua went into the promised land and fought against giants and walled cities. Samuel had faith to hear God. David established the kingdom of Israel. Solomon built the temple and sacrificed unto God until the glory of God came down. Ruth, somebody from another nation, a pagan nation, embraced. That was a big step of faith. Esther interceded and saved a whole people, a whole nation. Jeremiah prophesied when nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. Nehemiah went and rebuilt something that had crumbled down and everybody else had forsaken, the walls of Jerusalem. Daniel stood in the face of lions and evil rulers. Mary believed and brought forth the Christ child. Peter followed him, followed the Lord, and turned the world upside down. And Paul went out to the far places of the world to preach the gospel. Now, what if you were to bring some of those people together? Let's bring them all together in one room. Each of them has heard from God. Each of them has a call of God. Each of them is full of faith. And you gather together in the room and you say, okay, let's share together what we should do as a group. And Noah stands up and says, well, I've heard from God. It's time to build a boat. An ark so big that all representatives of every animal in the world can enter into it. It will take us over 100 years to build. Somebody on the other side of the room says, are you crazy? That's not what God wants us to do. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. What do you want to build a boat for? That's Paul. And then Solomon says, no. We can't go to the nations until we build a place to worship and adore the King of glory and to sacrifice our very lives unto him till the glory of the Lord comes down. We dare not go out and try to convert the nations. These great heroes of the faith are going to get into a super argument. Do you understand that there is a timing for everything in God? When you're in the timing of the Lord, you can always say, well, that shouldn't be our focus. That should be our focus. That's not the way we should go. We should be going in that direction. You can always say that. But while people are arguing and fussing, the work of the Lord's not getting done. But somebody as good as dead might stand up and say, come on, let's go in the timing of the Lord to do the work of the Lord one step at a time. Now, we are not in any way wanting to polish a palace. That is not our focus. We are not palace-making people, at least not before the millennium. We're a people. We're about the purposes of God, extending the kingdom of God. We're about loving people. We're about seeing the gifts and the anointings that God has put in each individual come forth. That's our DNA. You know that by now. Now, so there's three kinds of heroes in the Bible. There's those who take a stand and build. It's number one. They're good fathers, good mothers, good settlers. They build strength. Then there's a second kind of hero in the Bible. And those are the ones who rescue the wounded and defend the weak. Like a Mother Teresa. Like so many in the scriptures who said, let my people go, who healed the sick. Those are heroes of the faith. And then there's a third kind of hero. Some who stand and build, some who rescue and defend. And then there's those who move the kingdom of God forward. Now, what are you going to do? Well, any one of them would be just great. If that's the timing and the purpose and the word of God, then that's what we do. And maybe we'll do all three of them at the same time. But while one is doing one, don't say, no, it's this one, it's not that one. It's like the evangelist and the pastor having an argument. The evangelist says, go into all the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The pastor says, look, there are so many of our own people who aren't being cared for, aren't being taken care of, aren't receiving food, aren't receiving prayer. It's not good for us to go to the far corners of the world when our own are in such peril. Let's pastor the people. Which one is right? Well, they both are. But together, with unity, there's a commanded blessing. The Moravians, under Count Zinzendorf, had a prayer meeting that lasted 100 years. One generation after the other. Praying every day, all day long, for 100 years. And they sent out missionaries everywhere. But it began because they had a center called Herrnhut. The Wesleys, when they first started to come to the Lord, you know, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, the great songwriter, the great preacher who brought revival to England, they went to Herne Hunt to meet this man, Count Zinzendorf. And they learned about the working of the Holy Spirit and the power of prayer. And out of that center that was built, it was a community actually that was built, out of it went a 100-year prayer meeting and missions that went all over the world. And these people were so dedicated that came out of that place that when they went on a missions trip, you know what they took for their suitcase? A coffin. They packed everything in a coffin because they never expected to return. They expected to give their lives for Jesus somewhere out there on the mission field. We're not going by those methods today. But may we be just as sacrificial and just as focused. So we're called to be people of faith and to be people who go together and accomplish great things for God. Now, there are three things that we need to go forward. We need God's timing. Because you can try to have a Moravian prayer meeting that lasted 100 years, and it's not the timing of the Lord. Now, prayer is always the timing of the Lord. But that doesn't mean gathering a great number of people to pray is always the timing of the Lord. There's a lot of people who believe in this country, they have the Noah syndrome. They believe they ought to build an ark because this whole world's going to be blown up. A flood is coming. Build the ark. They're running off to the mountains. I don't think it's the Noah time. I think there is a time of revival coming. The wind is blowing. There's an anointing coming on the land. There's a fulfillment of prophecies coming on the land. It's a time for rebuilding the temple of the Lord and coming to the holy place and seeing the glory of God come. From there will go the glory of God to the nations. But each one of these has a time. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says, a time to plant, a time to reap. They made a famous song about it when dinosaurs roamed on the earth a long time ago. Some of you were there. But there is a time for everything under the heavens. Are we at such a time when we can step forward and see the wave, a tsunami of the purposes of God? If we had unlimited amount of money, we probably wouldn't even be thinking twice. But money is always such a big issue for people who don't have it. But it's God's timing. The second thing is to hear from God. First thing, you have to have God's timing, because God at certain times in history orchestrates certain things to happen, and don't try to make it happen when it's not God's timing. But when it is God's timing, get on the boat. And then you have to hear from God, not just once. It's not just one time I had a dream. Oh no, you have to hear from God daily, every step of the way, because the Lord, He moves in ways that are flexible. And He says, He brings you to this point to get you to that point and to move you to that point, and He brings people to you. So I've had so many prophecies, dreams, and visions come to me from all of you, well, most of you people, over the last month and before. There's no shortage of hearing the word of the Lord, but even if not a single one of you spoke, I would know what is in the heart of God. So the first thing is God's timing, and the second thing is hearing from God, and lastly, there's the mixing of faith. Ooh, this now is where you get involved. You know, every single person, I'm very sorry to say, has to be tested. Not by me. but by the Lord. How he tests you, what he tests you on at a time like this is up to him. But everyone, none of us will escape. I won't escape. You won't escape. Right. Husband, you won't escape this testing of the Lord. Yeah. What you do, where you put your feet, how you go. I'm not telling you to say what you have to do. You have to follow the Lord. But you'll be tested in it. Yeah. And everyone is called at such a time like this. Everyone is tested. Everyone is called. And in one way or another, everybody has to give their whole heart. And one way or the other, everyone will apply their hands to the work. And one way or the other, all of you should rejoice in the victory of Christ for this time and this season. All that we are pressing forward to is about preparing a highway. Can you hear me? Preparing a highway for the Lord. It's about people. So I say to you, let faith spring forth. Let it come. I would rather go forward and fail than stay and do some navel gazing. I'm not a very good navel gazer. I have to look to the stars and to the horizon. It's certainly not about me. You ought to know that. But it is about the glory of God. And I have nothing else to live for but Him and His glory. I know that's your heart too. Sid Roth, and with this I close, said something when he came to visit us a while back, and also heard him say it when he had his 35th year anniversary of being in the ministry. And he said, I can't say that I have been led by God. The truth is, I have been pushed by God. He said, I never figured something out and planned it ahead of time and then did it. He said, God brought me up to a cliff as I was serving him, and then he pushed me off. That's my life, he said. I identify with him. All of my own good ideas usually haven't worked. But God's ideas that he has put me into have always worked. And it's been consistent. Now, here we are, ready to spring forth with faith. Do it with all your might and with all your strength and with all the right motives. So many ministries are about to be birthed. School of Evangelism, a community center, where we will welcome the neighborhood for coffee and homemade cake in a very Christian atmosphere. Hundreds will come. We will begin a new Bless Israel ministry to raise funds for the needy in that land, because whoever blesses them, the Lord will bless. And you need that blessing. Many other ministries are about to come forth, including ministries in the arts, because this place is going to be a people place. It's going to be a place of great amount of activity for the kingdom of God. I couldn't think of a greater group of people with giftings and training here in this place. People who are not beginners. People who know how to have faith, know how to put their hand to the plow and to make something happen. So, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of Glory will come in. Let me pray for you now. Lord, I thank you for every person here. If there are any with a fluttering heart or a tender heart, Lord, I ask you to comfort them and give them the strength they need. Father, for those who are being called up right now into a place of new ministry and leadership, I ask you to give them dreams and visions and confidence. Open the doors for it to happen. Lord, with all the wheels that will be turning, let it be like the cherubim from on high who move to the left and to the right as one wherever the Spirit of the Lord would go. We welcome all your work among us. Lord, we pray for our own individual families, our own lives, all that you would do in our own personal ministries as well, that this would be a season of increase, abundance, blessing, promotion, and the extension of your kingdom. Let it come. Let us realize the spring of your purpose and go forward in it. We dedicate ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name.